St. Luke's Lutheran Church. I was so busy talking, I wasn't sure that I was going to get worship started this morning. But I'm glad to see all of you who are here, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a couple of announcements. First is that we have a church council meeting today at 2 p.m. And Monday, our food pantry volunteers are Peggy Bierke and Mary Lett. Do we have any other announcements? If not, please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, "Will You Let Me Be Your Servant?" It is number 659. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 25 responsibly. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I put my trust in you, that I may not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way.
All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies.
The second reading is from the first chapter of Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three, do you think, was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Familiar, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I know you wanted to sing along. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Millions of children have grown up hearing these words, which started every broadcast of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. They watched as Fred Rogers walked through the door, took off his coat, put on a cardigan knit by his mother, and changed from dress shoes to casual, comfortable sneakers. Mr. Rogers talked to them about feelings, about being scared, about difficult things such as death and divorce and war. He talked a lot about feelings, helping children to learn to express them, to learn that it is not bad to have feelings, though it might not always be good to act on them. He said, when we can talk about our feelings, they become less overwhelming, less upsetting, and less scary. He cared deeply about children and their fears. He said, the world is not always a kind place. That's something all children learn for themselves, whether we want them to or not. But it's something they really need our help to understand. As he taped the shows, he thought about one child, not the hundreds or thousands who might be watching, but just one child, speaking directly as though that child were right in front of him. He often sang a song with these lyrics. It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now. The way down deep inside you, not the things that hide you, not your toys, they're just beside you, but it's you I like. Every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new, I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like. It's you yourself. It's you I like. Think about that. Accepting someone not for what they have done or what they might become someday, but who they are in the moment, who they are right now. Telling them that they are special because they are who they are. Telling them that they are loved simply because they are. Let's look at our gospel message for today. A lawyer seeking to test Jesus asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus asks what the Torah says, and the lawyer provides the correct answer. Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." The lawyer, seeking to justify himself, asks, "And who is my neighbor?" This appears to be a legitimate question, one subject to genuine dispute. Instead of answering directly, Jesus tells a parable. In many stories of the time, the third character in the series is the hero. Thus, when the audience heard that the priest and the Levite had passed by, they knew that the next person to be mentioned would be the one held up as an example. The lawyer would have been expecting to hear that the next person would resemble him, one well-versed in the Torah, one who knew the law and kept it, one who is an upright citizen. Jesus said, "A Samaritan." This would have puzzled the audience. A Samaritan. No, Jesus, you have the story all wrong. The hero can't be a Samaritan. The disciples must have been puzzled, too. Hadn't they just been sent into a Samaritan village ahead of Jesus and not been welcomed? Hadn't James and John asked to be allowed to send fire down from heaven to destroy the village for refusing hospitality to Jesus? Jews and Samaritans worshiped the same God, but they did so in different ways. For the Jews, the true place of worship was in Jerusalem, the site of the temple. For Samaritans, Mount Gerizim was the place chosen by God as a site of worship. Jews and Samaritans tended to view one another with distrust. Thus, Jesus' choice of a Samaritan, an outsider, as the hero, stunned his listeners. And Jesus asked, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And the lawyer, who couldn't even utter the word Samaritan, said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus replied, "Go and do likewise." When you hear this familiar story, with whom do you identify? The priest? The Levite? The Samaritan? Don't we want to be the hero of the story? After all, we know the law. We learned the Ten Commandments in our youth. We can answer as a lawyer when asked what the law says. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." As was stated in our reading from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, "Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe." And our reading from the opening words of Colossians. "In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among ourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God." The writer is praising the Colossians for their faithfulness to the gospel message and stating their prayers are unceasing that they continue to bear fruit in every good work as they grow in their knowledge of God. Wait a minute. If this is our thought process, we are not identifying with the Samaritan. We're identifying with the lawyer, the one who knows what Scripture teaches but wants to define terms to justify and limit the extent of his actions. Now, of course, I've seen this congregation indeed act as the Samaritan did, caring for others, even those who are not part of this community of Buffalo. I've seen your service to the food pantry, your efforts in providing hygiene kits, your support of mission efforts in the wider church today. In so many ways, you do what Jesus commanded when he said, "Go and do likewise." But now, I want you to look through the eyes of another character in the story, the eyes of the man who was injured. Let's see how that affects the way that we view the parable and what Jesus is trying to teach us today. A man was traveling alone on the treacherous road between Jerusalem and Jericho when he was accosted by bandits who beat him, took his possessions, and left him for dead. He sees a priest approaching, and he feels relief, for this man of God will provide assistance. But he does not, passing on the other side. Then he sees a Levite. Now this one surely will stop and help one of his own people. But he does not, passing on the other side. Then comes someone he considers an enemy. For all he knows, this Samaritan stooping over him is going to finish what the robber started. Instead, the Samaritan, moved with pity, provides him with medical care, puts him on his own animal, brings him to an inn, and cares for him. And the next day, the Samaritan pays for his room and board, not just for the last night, but for days into the future. And he tells the innkeeper to take care of the man, and if any more is owed, he will repay him on his return. What do you think is the response of the wounded man? What would be your response if this were your story? Would it not expand your own understanding of what it means to love the neighbor as yourself? Of what it means to be a neighbor? To be treated this way by one you thought was your enemy? Stories often help us to understand things in ways that a mere recitation of facts cannot. Do you remember my sermon last week as I spoke of my adventure traveling from Aberdeen, South Dakota, back home to Buffalo, getting stranded as my car broke down? I could have told you the simple facts that I was traveling from Aberdeen, my car broke down, and I was towed twice before the alternator belt was replaced and my vehicle was running again. Not too exciting, is it? But the story that I told provided many more details, showing the difficulty of the journey back and the kindness of people who went out of their way to help me. I could easily have used that story today as an example of what it means to be neighbor and what it means to act as a priest or Levite and not have the time to help someone in need. Jesus' parable of what it is to be a neighbor touches us on a deeper level because it allows us to put ourselves into the shoes of the various characters as we consider how Jesus is calling us through this familiar story to show mercy to others, and I believe to also accept mercy from others. Mr. Rogers said, "When I was a boy and would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.' And when you see people who are helping, you will also see people who are being helped. As Mr. Rogers said, all of us at one time or another need help. Whether we're giving or receiving help, each one of us has something valuable to bring to this world. That's one of the things that connects us as neighbors. In our own way, each one of us is a giver and a receiver," he said. Once a person you're not expecting to help you treats you as a neighbor, showing you mercy and kindness, showing that you have value as a human being, what is your response? As Mr. Rogers said, the underlying message of the neighborhood is that if someone cares about you, it's possible that you'll care about others. You are special, and so is your neighbor. That part is essential, that you're not the only special person in the world. The person you happen to be with at the moment is loved too, he said. It is through our experiences of being loved and cared for that we begin to glimpse how much God loves us, that God sees us as special and lovable just as we are. Our actions toward our neighbor are a response to that love. In 1997, Mr. Rogers received a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Emmys. During his acceptance speech, he said, "So many people have helped me to come here this night. Some of you are here. Some are far away. Some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you just take, along with me, 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are, those who have cared for you and wanted what is best for your life. 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. The camera panned across the audience as people took those 10 seconds to think of the people who had helped them in their lives, sometimes stopping to focus on those with tears in their eyes. When those 10 seconds were up, he said, "Whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel that they have made." Let's try it for ourselves. Take 10 seconds to think of those who have helped you to become who you are, those who have cared for you, those who have been neighbor to you, those who have shown you how to be a neighbor to others. 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. Think how pleased those people must be to know the difference you feel that they have made. Now go and do likewise. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, "Lord, Whose Love and Humble Service," number 712.
Thank you.
faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the Church, the creation, and all in need. Good and gracious God, you have placed your word of love in the heart of your Church. Fill your Church with compassion, that we bear the fruit of your healing mercy to a broken world. God of grace, hear our prayer. You created the earth with seeds sprouting up to new life. We pray for the flourishing of fruit trees and orchards, vines and bushes. Prosper the work of those who plant, tend, harvest, and gather. God of grace, hear our prayer. Show us your ways and teach us your paths of justice and love. Raise up community and national leaders to challenge and dismantle societal structures that perpetuate ethnic, racial, and religious profiling and discrimination. God of grace, hear our prayer. Come near to all in need. Orchestrate kindness in the face of cruelty, hope where there is despair, love in the face of neglect, comfort where there is death, and healing in illness, especially for those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace, hear our prayer. Turn this community toward neighbors in need. Bring aid and support to those who are poor, beaten down, abused, forgotten, silenced, or avoided. God of grace, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the saints who revealed your love and mercy in this life. Inspired by their witness, strengthen us to live in hope. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for sending your offering into the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory, Lord, Let My Heart Be Good Soil. It's number 512.
Thank you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join our unending hymn.
Thank you. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand as you are able to receive the blessing, as God sends us out in mission to the world. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Let us join together in our ascending song, For the Fruit of All Creation, number 679.